Well, I think some people would say we talk a lot about marriage on this show.
I think we do. I think that's the purpose.
And we all know great marriages don't just happen.
Because they really do require intention. And you're either drifting apart or choosing to grow closer together and toward God.
And that's why Family Life's Weekend Remember Getaways Matter,
yes.
Which you're going to hear that very statement at the weekend. You either drift apart or grow together. You want to grow together. So here's what we're telling you. You need to go to a Family Life Weekend Remember. They're happening nationwide. And right now through September 15th, they're available at our best price of the year.
This will be the best price you're going to get. So if you want to have some intentional time together that will help you grow closer as a couple and in faith, register now at familylifetoday.com. Familylifetoday.com.
I had a Sunday school teacher at church. She would tell the Bible stories, sing songs. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And I believed that Jesus loved me because Ruth told me that the Bible told me so. And then my mom at night would tickle me with fingers on the back, singing the same song, telling me the Bible tells me so. Mm. Like, why would I not love God's word?
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
You know, I'm excited today because we're going to talk about feasting. Who doesn't love a good feast?
Well, it's not the kind of feast we're thinking of.
It's even better.
It's better. Wendy Speak is back. It's been a while since you've been on Family Life Today. How many years, do you know?
I don't know, four?
Little Rock.
Yes. My first time coming to Family Life was for the book Triggers,
yes,
for moms who were struggling with anger.
That's right, with Amberly.
And with Amberly, yeah. And so it was in that context, that conversation where I said, hey, what would happen if we set down sugar for 40 days? Would we be calmer, kinder, more consistent, maybe even more Christ-like? Just because of physiologically what's going on in our bodies. And we found out, oh, no. This is a spiritual fast. And what made it a spiritual fast is we realized we were running from sugar high to get us through our days,
yeah,
instead of turning to the Most High.
Mm.
And so when we set down the thing we were turning to, it opened us up to turn to the Lord.
So good.
And so I said, so what else are we turning to? But what we learned is when you set down what you're consuming as though that's what you need, it frees up your day. It frees up your eyes. It frees up your belly. It frees up your hunger
in your heart
to turn to the only thing that can really satisfy you, fulfill you, transform you. And it is what your life is, save you, sanctify you, encourage you, edify you long term.
Yes. And do you guys feel like that's the enemy's strategy to
distract us. Absolutely.
And he uses all of those things
absolutely
to distract us.
There are so many great quotes. I think it's A.W. Tozer who said, whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, no matter how harmless it may appear to be.
Wow.
And I think it's in Screwtape Letters where C.S. Lewis talks about, this is the tactic. Let's just keep them distracted.
Right.
And so we're talking about feasting today, but we're not talking about literal food. We're talking about feasting on God's word.
Mm. I love
it. So that's
this.
How we got here is I would say in those fasting resources, so there's the 40-day sugar fast, the 40-day social media fast, the purpose of fasting is always feasting.
Mm.
We're going to set down the things we're consuming that we can get hungry again for God's word, for his sweet presence, for his sustaining word. And we're going to do it in community, but you can do it on your own. You can do it with a friend. You can do it with a spouse. Tell them not to drop the ball.
And this is a devotional.
It's a devotional. It really is a daily devotional, which I think a lot of people feel
it's doable.
Can be successful at this.
For
because
40
days,
the
12 chapter books, it's like, oh, I'm distracted by my kids needing me, or I need to leave for this. I need to run to the grocery. And it's hard to read 30 minutes, but here it's like the length of a blog post, but it's deep, it's meaty, it's rooted in scripture, and it'll carry you through these 40 days. But with the 40-day feast, when I wrote this one, I was very, very cautious. I did not want to give them a book that was the answer. I wanted to point them and whet their appetite.
I was going
to
say it's an
for
appetizer.
For the real feast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my book isn't, well, I hope it's a good book. It's not the good book. And it's that's good. What we want to get hungry
it's
for.
It's a good book. And it's meaty. I thought when I picked it up, it's going to be little quotes, maybe half a paragraph, pray this, which some devotionals aren't are great. This is not a full-length chapter, but it's more than just one page. It's each page takes you somewhere and then gives you time to say, okay, that led me to the Word of God. Now I want to sit with God.
And so let's dive into what His Word says.
Very good.
Yeah. I've been saying this all year, and I've probably believed it my whole life, but because I'm on year 18 of going through the one-year Bible, I think that has changed me more than anything.
Yep.
It really allows me to see who God is, but who He says I am in the scriptures. After year 18, I read it this morning, I'm like, this is so good. And I've read it so many times.
We'll be driving and she does that. This is so good. Let me read it out loud to you. I'm like, you're going to read the Bible again out loud? It's awesome.
You lucky dog.
But she loves it. Yeah. And it's a like you said, it's a feast.
It is a feast.
Yes. There's always something new. There's something that, I've never noticed that before. How did I never notice that before? Because the Holy Spirit who lives in us when we're in Christ is always pointing out new things, and it's what I need that day.
Yeah, you know that the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I love so much, because I often hear from people, I believe, but I don't read it. So Bible believers aren't Bible readers. And there are only a few reasons really why. One, they're just so busy. They've fallen out of habit maybe. But a lot of people have never gotten into the practice of being a Bible reader.
Are they intimidated?
Well, I think it's how am I going to understand it? I don't understand it. So I love to point out, and because I've experienced myself, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writing of the Word is the Holy Spirit that inspires the reading of the Word.
So good.
And God is so kind to reveal to us what we can understand the first time through. And then He opens our eyes, opens our minds, gives us the ability to perceive meaning that we didn't understand the first time through. You're growing in your ability to understand it. So the Word is actually expanding as you expand in your knowledge, as you expand in your ability to comprehend. He says, oh, good, because I have more for you. And sometimes it's not just a mental understanding. Sometimes it's my heart is inclined to you. Or I had to go through seeing that those other things didn't fulfill me. Oh, it's because look how long-suffering you are. Those things can't suffer long with me.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's so many reasons. But another thing I love is He's a really clear communicator.
Yes.
And we tell ourselves the Bible's confusing. I don't know where to start. And so we never start. Mm. And so we never find out how simple the message of the Bible is.
Well, it's interesting. I can remember my family, we didn't go to church growing up. Mm-hmm. And I slept in a double bed with my sister, who's 6 years older. Mm-hmm. And we got in this phase because my mom brought home a Bible. I don't even know where she got it. And it was a version that we could actually understand. Yeah. It wasn't a King James. And so we took the Bible, my sister and I, and we decided to start reading it. And she said, I heard somebody say we should start in the book of John. And so she starts reading it, and we read it for probably 5 days in a row. And I remember saying to her, and mind you, we've never heard the gospel. I know nothing, zero, neither of us do. And I remember saying, I don't get it. Mm. How do we get to heaven? Are we supposed to be good enough? Or what is it? I don't get it. And she said, me neither. We put the Bible away and we made a pact with one another. Whoever discovers the truth needs to come back and tell the other one of how we get into heaven.
Wow.
Years
later. How old
were
you?
I was 10 at that time that we were reading.
She's 16. Okay, go on with the story.
And so then when I was 16, she was married. She came back home and she said, Anne, I found the answer.
Praise God.
And my sister and I both gone through sexual abuse. Mm. She was bulimic so many years, anorexic. She wasn't looking good. She was in a tough marriage. But she came home this time and she looked amazing.
Amazing.
And I said, what happened? She goes, it's what I found the answer to. It's Jesus. And I said, I'm not really into the Jesus thing anymore. I'm kind of into boys, you know? But she said, no, I'm going to tell you everything. And she shared the gospel. We ended up running because I was in track. She ran with me for 6 miles. Mm. The whole gospel laid out. I came home, got on my knees, gave my life, surrendered to Jesus.
What a story.
But then here's the amazing thing. Later, after she'd gone home, she said, you need to be in the Bible.
Yeah.
The word is going to grow you. You're going to be discipled through God's word. It will change you.
Yes.
And I remember reading the same scriptures. And now, because I'm in Christ, yes, with the Holy Spirit, I read it. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yes.
I get it. Yes. He has illuminated my mind.
I feel led that if you are listening right now and you have tried before to understand it, maybe you were young in the faith,
yeah,
maybe you were not yet even saved, and you've told yourself that it's, you just don't have the ability to understand it, only with the help of a Bible teacher or
right,
a pastor on Sundays, I just want to encourage you to try again. And it really doesn't take much trying, so there's got to be a different word. Go do it again.
Yeah.
Open yourself up again to the one who is the word, and then open up the word. And feast might sound a little bit intimidating. Have a nibble.
Yeah.
Yes, start in the book, yeah, of John.
I love that.
Absolutely. But I do say in this, one of the day's devotions, just because you should be able to read it for yourself doesn't mean you have to read it by yourself.
Mm.
It's okay to, you're talking about reading the book every year, you know, like the Tara Lee Cobble, her Bible recap.
Yes.
She's got a podcast. She's got the book. Great resource.
YouTube.
Great resource.
Yeah,
there's so
great.
Many people that do daily recaps
right,
on YouTube. And so you don't have to do it and suck the marrow out of it by yourself. Like there are, it's okay. Commentaries are okay, but start reading.
Now, what's your journey? When did you start?
I've got a history with God, but I don't remember when I fell in love with God's word, because it was just a very natural progression. I had a Sunday school teacher at church. Her name was Ruth Gosting. And like, she was ancient when I was little, but you know, she was always old.
Right.
And she had this squeaky high-pitched voice, and she would tell the Bible stories for the kids and put the felt Jesus up on the felt board, sing songs. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And I believed that Jesus loved me because Ruth told me that the Bible told me so. And then my mom at night would tickle me with fingers on the back, singing the same song, telling me the Bible tells me so. Mm. Like, why would I not love God's word? Because he's telling me he loves me, and I'm being told by people who are actively, demonstratively showing me that I'm loved. Mm. And so I believed that the God of the Bible loved me before I could read the Bible for myself. Mm. But my first Bible that I remember having was a Precious Moments Bible.
Hmm.
And you know, I'm sure
those.
That there are many women listening to this broadcast right now going, oh, you mean the white one?
The white one.
With the gold edges and
yes,
then the pictures of the Precious Moment figurines.
You don't know what that is, Dave.
I do not know what you're talking about.
But if I look through it, I see notes in the margin. I
really?
See dates. I see flyers from various church camps I went to. I've got a bookmark in there from Indian Village and beads at the bottom of it. Like, it is full of mementos, which tells me I've got history with God in his word, which is just so cool. But then I hit the age where I was going to college, and my dad said to me, you may not take your Precious Moments Bible to college.
He was sparing you,
you know,
teasing.
He's like, it's time to grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
So he bought me a Life Application Bible. And that was my first time having a Bible
one?
With commentary.
Yeah.
Not
so
only
good.
Was it big, it was big.
Yeah.
And so I took it to college. And the way I describe that Bible is thud. You know, you'd put it on the bedside table and thud, right? And my roommate my freshman year of college was Muslim from the Middle East.
Oh.
Wow.
And so she would watch me read my Bible, and she said, I have never seen someone read the Quran the way you read your Bible. Mm. And I said to her, you should. You should absolutely. Then you can tell me what you believe, and I can tell you what I believe. And so I'm growing not only to know it, but I'm getting so full of the word. Mm. It's spilling over. I'm wanting to share it. I start going to Campus Crusade for Christ, now Crew. And I remember this was freshman year of college.
Where were you?
I was in Boston.
Oh.
So it was at Harvard, because my school didn't have Crusade. And so there was a teacher there, and he's doing the Friday night message for multi-campuses. Come in here for K Campus Crusade, and he was talking about prayer. And when you are praying, so obviously in line with God's will, there's a eager expectation to see him answer. He encouraged us at the end of the message, pray for something. Ask God for something that you imagine would be right in line with his will. I said, God, I just got a new Bible and I've got a, you know, college student's budget. Could you just send me one? Because I want a smaller Bible so I can keep it on me and share my faith. And that thud, you know, big honking Bible, I can't carry that around the city
of
Boston.
Feels intimidating to a person, too.
Not only that, but it's too heavy.
Yeah.
It's going to break my back. The next school day that I went to the post office there on campus, there was an unmarked paper package in my little post box, and it was a small Bible with no return address.
Come on.
Totally telling the truth.
Now, you found out who it came from.
I did. Yeah. Years later, it was from my Uncle Bob. And I only know this, he never told me, because I saw my mom had the same one. I was like, I got that Bible. And she said, yeah, Uncle Bob sent it to us.
But even the timing of it, you had just prayed.
No, it was so the Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got history with that Bible until that Bible fell apart, like just fell apart. But I really believe that a Bible that's fallen apart, it represents a life that's been put back together. And that Bible walked me through seasons when I had fallen apart and it bound me up again. I mean, it just really did a number on me. And that's what God promises.
Yeah.
I've got history with a Bible.
I mean, I'm looking at the verse you have, Jeremiah 15:16, that says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you get the feast.
Yeah. I mean, there are two things. One, I'm not feasting because I don't know how. Two, I've never acquired a taste for it. I don't get what you
Good
mean.
Good point.
Like, that
this,
it's sweet.
This sounds so foreign, like a new language.
I had a pastor in Escondido, California, Pastor Dennis Keating, and he would say each Sunday he would get up at the podium, put his hands on it, look out at the congregation and say, did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? And then he would pause, which would require us to answer the question.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's what I came to church for, is to hear from the Lord. And I found myself asking the question in my own quiet time with the Lord. Is I would open my Bible and I'd start to read, wait. Did I come to hear from the Lord? And so if you haven't yet experienced the sweetness of God's word, ask him for it. Your words were found and I ate them and they became to me a joy, sweetness, my delight. God, I found your words. Here they are. I've not experienced that. Would you help me to experience how sweet you are? How clear a communicator you are? And that you love me and you have life abundant for me. And the secret is found here. As I get to know who you are, I'm going to grow in your grace. I'm going to grow in the knowledge of you. I'm going to get more excited about it. Because to be honest, God, I'm not always excited to open your word. Would you help me get excited, develop a hunger, a taste, a sweet tooth?
And I have found, and maybe you guys have too, but the longer I'm out of the word, I lose my taste for it.
You do.
Like you're out of the habit and then you forget the habit.
Yes.
And then you're not longing for it.
Absolutely.
And so to be patient with yourself, like the first day you're like, okay, I read it. And maybe you didn't think, oh, this was amazing. But maybe you thought, okay, I was obedient. I did it.
Yeah.
The next day, you might have a little more of a taste for it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the more you're in it, the longer you're in it, you acquire that taste to the point where you're longing for it each day. Like, I can't wait to see what I'm going to read today.
Oh, I love your heart, Anne.
Yeah, my journey was so different than both of yours.
Yeah.
Grew up in a, you know, divorced family when I was 7. My dad left. My little brother dies. He's 5. I'm 7. So all in like 2 or 3 months time, moved from one state to another where my mom's parents were. Anyway, she was a Bible-believing woman, mom. So she took me to church. Honestly, I sat there and listened to these sermons. Two things I thought, I'll never become one of those. There's no way. These guys are boring. And I felt scared by the Bible because I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And again, some of it was the preaching didn't make it clear, so I felt confused. And anyway, I get older and older. I get into high school, and then I'm like, I really don't understand it. And I've got intimidated by it because I'm like, there's not even one book. There's like a whole bunch of books, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm very biblically illiterate, and I get to college. And it's a long story, but I come to Christ my junior year, and a guy says, we have a Bible study on Friday nights. You got to come. And I remember thinking, Friday night?
When yeah, do you we're not supposed know what partying? I'm doing on Friday nights?
And my first ever Bible study, I don't even remember the Bible I had. I think my mom gave it to me. I think it was the book, the Living, remember the?
Yeah, the Living
back
book,
in the
70s?
It?
Yeah.
It was a big campaign, green one with the gold letters.
That's one my mom brought home.
Yeah, well, I wonder who was giving those out.
I don't
what
know.
Ministry
it was
that?
A big deal.
It was
deal.
Kind of a big
yeah,
deal.
It was the thing.
I got
right?
one. I'll never forget. I walked across campus with my Ball State football letter jacket on, mm-hmm. Bible underneath, because I was ashamed.
Wow.
I'm not even a
and
Christian yet.
And look at you now.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking,
yeah.
I don't want anybody to know I'm going to a Bible wow. study. This is like, what are
especially
you doing
on a Friday
with your
night.
Life? And here's what happened. I go to this Bible study. It's in another student's room, dorm mm-hmm, room. Mm-hmm. And he teaches John 3, Nicodemus. I remember it like yesterday. Mm. It's the first time in my life the Bible was clear. It was practical. Mm-hmm. It was alive. Mm. I remember when he said, let's turn to John 3. I literally looked around the room like, how do these guys know where that is? I didn't. I'm looking at the table of contents. You know, I'm all embarrassed. I don't want anybody to see that. I don't know what John is.
Yeah,
that's where I was. And here I am. But I mean, it's like, I remember walking back to my dorm room like this.
Wow. Holding it out
like, this book is amazing. Yeah. It was my first taste.
I think it's really important for those who are tuning in to just hear that you were raised in church. And there's various degrees of what you do with that, right?
Right.
I mean, you could be I never really understood it.
Right. I walked away.
The Bible or just the simplicity of the gospel message.
Yes.
Right.
And some people believe it to whatever degree they're able to without ever really getting into it and letting it shape their thinking and their life. And wherever you are in your journey, like right now is a time, like you obviously tuned in for this episode, but if now's the time where you're going to tune into the word and dive into the word and say, okay, I'm ready to understand it. Like, I want to know where the book of John is. I want to open it to chapter 3. I want to read for myself what was so transformational in Dave's life.
Right.
God, what you did in him, what you revealed to him, would you reveal it to me?
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah, he will.
He does that. The honest prayers that you're offering our listeners. Like, just tell God, like, Lord, I've struggled with this book. I don't get it. And I don't know when people say this is so cool. It doesn't seem so cool to me. Be honest and ask him to reveal himself.
And what I love about your book, it's a 40-day feast. Yeah. It's a start.
And it's a slow start, too. And one of the things that's my favorite is I have women reach out to me who are, like, I'm talking about the veterans in your church, okay? These are deeply Bible-believing women who love the book. There are women who used to be, like, on fire, as we used to say, right?
Yeah.
For the word, like, oh, I was insatiable, right? You remember that term?
Yeah.
And then there are women that say, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Mm.
And I've heard back from women in all these different stages and women sitting down and doing this with their husbands or their sons as well. And it's hitting.
It is hitting. Of course it would hit.
Because we're just talking about one, what is God's word?
Yeah.
Two, why should we read it? Three, how do we read it? And four, how do we live in response? Because we're told in the book of James, we don't want to just be readers of the word or hearers of the word. We want to grow to do what it says.
I like how you've divided that up too in your devotional.
Hey, let me just remind people right now, I'm going to look at the camera and say, you can get this book, familylifetoday.com, show notes, get it. Because what you just said, if I'm a married man, I am, I've never done it with my wife. I'm like, I'm going to do this for 40 days.
This is a good one. Yeah.
Let's commit for 40 days and see where it goes, because I know it's going to keep going, but start small.
Yeah.
It's not the rest of your life. 40 days, familylife.com, show notes, get the book.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.